successful. And so if you're not familiar with this passage, Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians using an analogy for how they are to live their lives. And the games that he was referring to was known as the Isthmian Games, where it was different races and different events that they do, similar to what they had in the Olympics. But as Paul was writing, for those, everyone runs the race, but only one receiveth the prize. And so for our young people, this may seem surprising because now we do participation trophies and participation ribbons, where if you just show up, you're going to get a reward. But in previous days, and actually in the real world, there is only one prize. And so as Paul is saying, so run that ye may obtain, I take this interpretation to be the victor, the one that does receive the prize. That is how Paul is commanding you to run. And so I want to take this opportunity to say, the victor, what are the characteristics or principles that he or she uses to ensure that he or she wins the race? So I have four, and I will be brief because I know we're talking to young people. So the first principle I want you all to think about to win the race is this. Don't worry about your start. So this is what I'm talking about. Far too often, and particularly in society today, we believe that where we come from will dictate where we're going. And that is not the case at all. We look at our family. We may have some struggles in our family. So if our family only has, no one in our family has ever gone to college, so that means we won't have the ability to go to college. If someone in our family, if we come from a family that may not have a lot of monetary money, then that means we don't have the ability to be successful monetarily. Or maybe it's our circumstances. We've just been through some stuff. And my family or my history or my neighborhood, my background tells me that this is only as far as I can get. So when I give these four principles, I want to give a biblical example, and I also want to give a real-world example so I can connect with the young people. So let's first think about one more obvious to me. Let's talk about Moses. When Moses, if you're not familiar, when he was born, he was going to die. Because during that time, the Israelites were in such a high number that the Pharaoh was nervous that they would be overthrown and commanded all the baby boys to be murdered. So it can't get any worse than Moses. When he was born, he was sentenced to death. And now he's put down the river and he was adopted. So if that's Moses' start, we certainly know how Moses finished in that capacity, what the Lord commanded him to do. So let's give a real-world example for our young people. I love track and field. I love the Olympics. Who is the fastest man in the world? Usain Bolt. Absolutely. Three Olympics in a row, he has won the 100-meter dash. Have you ever watched Usain Bolt start his race? The first 20, 30, 40 meters, Usain Bolt is at best fourth because he has a mediocre start. But if you watch the entire race, how does Usain Bolt finish? So when Usain Bolt comes out the blocks, does he look around like, I'm third or fourth? I guess I'm done. What does he do? He kicks it in, and he recognizes that his start is not going to end up telling him where he finishes. So if that's not an example, I'll bring it home to myself. If I had a picture behind me, if I showed you my family, I could talk about my parents, that I come from a broken home, that my parents divorced when I was young. I could talk about my Uncle Mike, who was my closest uncle, that passed of health complications when I was 10 years old. I could tell you about my cousin Chauncey, who unfortunately made some bad decisions, got involved with gangs, and was murdered. Every family has some issues, but the DNA does not determine your destiny. Because if I was showing you that picture, the next picture I would show you was me with President Obama on Denver City Council when he came to Denver. So recognize that where you start is not going to dictate where you finish. And I'll share with you Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when it says be careful for nothing, if you would ring that in the NIV version, it says don't worry. Because I'm going to come back to another passage that talks about worrying, but worrying is not going to change anything in your life. But if you recognize and have the faith that how you start is not going to tell you where you finish, you'll be making a great start. So that was my first point. Don't worry about your start. Second of all, I want to say to you, stay in your lane. So I'm a veteran. I want to give you a military analogy. Every year when you're in the service, you have to qualify with your M16. So you go to the firing range where they have 15 lanes. You have a target 50 meters all the way to 300 meters. And they go through this several different steps that they talk about before you qualify for your weapon. Make sure you know where all your targets are. Make sure your weapon is safe, etc. And one of the last things that they say is stay in your lane. Because as the 10 to 15 people are qualifying, it's all happening at the same time. So if I took the opportunity, if my lane is right in front of me, but I went ahead and shot a target to my left, so I hit my neighbor's target, 50-meter target, how does that benefit me? And this is where I want to say to you, it's important that you stay focused and don't let the distractions that are waiting in the wings. And actually, I would say to you, beware of the distractor. Because 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What is pulling you out of your lane? And I could say for most young people, it's probably your cell phone. Because as the father of a 13-year-old daughter, I can tell you, it is amazing where she gets so excited. What are you so excited about? My photo got 20 likes. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, these followers that are pulling you from what God is commanding you to do. And in the country that we live in, which is a fantastic country, we have several issues. CBS Sunday Morning did a story, the happiest place to live on earth. And the country, which will surprise most, was Denmark. And they did a profile on the country and the people. And one of the questions was, well, why is this different than the United States? The United States was in 13th place. And one of the comments was, well, in the United States, there's too much focus on stuff. And our worth is based off of what car do we drive? What clothes do we have? Our social media status. So when I tell you to stay in your lane, young people, it's all about making sure that we are focusing on what God is asking us to do and not let the distractions and the distractor prevent you from achieving the life that God has commanded for you. And so when I talk about this, I'll give you a biblical background. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I love that verse because as we're talking about winning the race, it talks about let us run with patience, because I know that's a struggle we all have, the race that is set before us. So we stay in our lanes, we will have the ability to focus on what God is asking us to do, and don't let those distractions prevent us from having the life that God has abundantly has planned for us. Stay in your lane. And as I talk about patience, it leads so eloquently into my third point, which is this. Seek wisdom. So wisdom requires experience. And as Christians, we know that we're saved. And I use the analogy, we know how the story ends, but we don't know the middle of the book. And when I say that, I'm talking about our journey and what our journey is going to entail. And more than likely, our journey is going to be filled with struggles and trials and tribulations. I remember a pastor was spoken before. He says, if you're not going through something, just wait, because it's coming. But those trials and those tribulations are preparing you for the grace and the abundant glory that you're going to receive later on in life. Because as Pastor Jones spoke last week, we're going through transition. So we're going through. We're not stuck. It's not eternal. We're at a period where we are being shaped to be successful. And the example that I will use is, let's talk diamonds for our young people. Diamonds are a girl's best friend and a man's budget's worst enemy. But we look at a diamond, we look at it in its final answer. What does a diamond look like initially? As I talked previously about, don't worry about your start. because a diamond start is nothing like its finish, being of carbon. But through high pressure and high temperature, it is molded and it is formed into this beautiful piece at the end. So as we are going through our stuff, as we are going through our tribulations, God is using pressure to shape us and to form us, to be in a place that we are that final product too, so we are able to be a testimony to that we focus on him and we stay with him, what can become. So if we don't forget that, as we're going through those things, that we just throw our hands up and say, I'm done. You can't. Because the reality is that's not going to get you through those trials or tribulations. The only thing that will get you through is focusing on the Lord so that he will get you through anything. And I think about Isaiah 43, 1 and 2 that says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So as we talk about, we're going through some stuff. We're going through some things. Know that the Lord knows what you are going through and doesn't put you through anything that you do not have the capability to get through. And I came across this. I came across this quote as well that I thought was good. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. I'm going to read that one more time. God doesn't give the hardest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. Seeking wisdom, knowing that he is going to shape you, he is going to mold you, and he's going to put you through a place where you probably could not have imagined you could have been, but only through what God is doing for you each and every day. So fourth point I love to get with you and share with you is this. Know the source, the true source of your strength. So we hear about professional athletes that have a lucky chain or a lucky coin. I wear my socks inside out every time I do something. I have a special meal I have to eat before a true game. And those rituals are fine if it allows you to have more confidence. But the reality is your source, your true source of strength comes from within. Or I can rephrase that, your true source comes from him. And recognizing that, realizing that, that is all you need to be successful in life. And a simple biblical story that I can bring up is Samson, who originally thought the source, his strength was in his hair. And as a bald brother, I'm really glad that that is not true. I'm just saying. But we know that our true source, our true power comes from the Lord. And recognizing that, we need to make sure that we focus on him. Let me share with you Psalm 16, 4 through 6. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The Lord, in that previous part, it talked about another God. What is that? Because if you're not focusing on the Lord, what are you focusing on? And I tell people, you can tell what people care about by what they're doing with their time. And so if you're not focusing your time on the Lord, what are you focusing your time on? And that will show you what your true values. And so I share with you, focusing on the Lord, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Matthew 6, 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Things you could not imagine, things you wouldn't believe, but through God, he will take you there. Because I could not believe that I would one day be a Denver City Council person. But God has proven to me, if I just focus on him, he will take me to places that I would never believe that I could possibly achieve myself. And when you really believe, you can move mountains. And so I want to ask this question as I start to wrap up, thinking about sports. What would you say is probably one of the greatest sports streaks you've ever witnessed or even heard of, like great teams that have done X? Most people will say things, and if you think about men's college basketball, UCLA Bruins, or if you think about the Boston Celtics of the earlier years, please don't say the New England Patriots. We're not going to count them at all. You can think about the San Antonio Spurs, but the greatest in my plea is the UConn women's basketball team. And if you're not familiar with them, they had won 111 games in a row. Like, this team literally hadn't lost in years. And that is a testament to their program, that their team, and their coach. But it was interesting, in the Final Four this year, the UConn women's team came up against Mississippi State. And I want to tell you, they were last year when UConn played Mississippi State in the Sweet 16, they beat them by 60 points. And as Mississippi State came up against UConn in the Final Four this year, what do you think people were expecting to happen? So I have the picture behind me when I talk about winning the race. This photo is of more, so in case you're not familiar, UConn is in the white, Mississippi State is in the burgundy. That is Morgan Williams, 5'5", about to take the game-winning shot over the UConn defender who is 5'11". And I thought this would be a great analogy to share with my young people. If you believe in God, if you don't focus on your start, but think about your finish, if you are about staying in your lane, if you recognize that you are here to seek wisdom, and if you know the true source of your strength, you are Morgan. 5'5", staring up at these obstacles of trials and tribulations, 5'11", trying to block your start. She soared above the competition, hit that shot, defeated UConn, and they were on their way to the national championship game. Nobody believed anyone would do it, but if you believe, you can devour the enemy, you will be the victor, and you can do several great things in your life if you just believe, trust, and have faith in God. Thank you all so much. God bless you. I really appreciate it. Have a great day. Thank you.